95.7 The Fan presents The Drive with Sterner and Hughley. It's the 5 o'clock fire.
It is 5 o'clock. Congratulations. Hopefully you're off work. Luckily for you, Old Dirty Show, T-Mill and Psycho Megan's husband have the latest for you. And the latest is the Astros got a big W today. And a guy that has taken some from a member of this show. A guy who has been run down, has been saying, when are you going to show up? When are you going to do something? Came up with a big hit, Mr. Varsho.
Going close. Varsho gets into one to right center, going back. Peter's still going back. That's going to be a double or more off the wall. Varsho heading to third. Peters runs it down. Varsho being held at third. Two RBI triple. It is 5-2 Astros. Big swing by Dalton.
I got to look at that, boy. I thought he hit it off the plate the way I saw it.
Like this. Cricket?
But there's no way it went that far off the plate. It must have, the angle I was seeing, I mean, I'm in and out during the show. I was like, did he just hit that off the plate?
Ball's got some bounce
and
to
it. It does. But
he's gotten hot, baby. Some big hits of late. Got to give credit where credit's due. I just think that TK can do better than Dalton. Big swing by Dalton. That just don't land. That don't hit. There's nothing about that. I mean, we got to figure something out, and I think he's earned it. I'm wondering it myself. When I heard it, Dalton. I mean, just stood out. I mean, stuck out like a sore thumb.
Play it again, Tyler.
It's the very end. I mean, he really builds to it.
But you know,
I mean, he builds, you know, and I mean, it's just rolling and a big swing by Dalton.
And another scores. Like he
behind triple. It is 5-2 Astros. Big swing by Dalton.
Just ain't it. It don't land.
Well, swing by Dalton.
Some people did text in some thoughts.
What do you got? We got nickname. I mean, I think he's earned it. Would y'all agree he's earned it?
Sure.
He's earned
it's a good one.
Infancy stages of like, hey man, let's start discussing a potential nickname here for Dalton Varsho.
Yeah.
I've come around. Like it's the ultimate respect that I can pay somebody.
He's been putting good wood on the ball.
Whoa. He's worthy of a conversation about a nickname. And I think Varsho has some real potential. Dalton, not so much.
There's something there.
All right, here we go, Tyler. Clint's gonna pull out his nickname down gun out here as
Why?
We start
rolling. You got one you want to throw out there?
I'm just going to read off to you what some of the people.
And I'll be dead honest.
Well, I know you are. I know you're going to shoot most of them down.
Well, I mean, if it ain't, that means that you don't think any of them are any good.
I'm not saying it. I leave it up to you. D-Var.
No chance. No chance. D-Var. Come on, man.
Dalton Yard Show Var Show.
No. I mean, you may be onto something with Yard and Var, but
Var Show Nuff.
Nope.
This one rolling in. The real show. I'll say no.
Hey, Var Show.
I've seen a lot of the show. Someone said, is the showman already taken?
I mean, that may have some legs. That has legs.
Really pushing the show.
Yard and Var rhyming as long as the show piece like that as much like those there's legs there
unless you say yard.
Bill Worrell says that last one's taken.
The showman.
Thank you. I think maybe we keep working on that.
Fire.
Maybe we keep working on that.
Well, we got to keep working on it. Yard show is.
Is there some legs to that for you?
Yeah, but I don't know. I'm not proud of it.
Well, that was one part of that game. Big hit there. The other part, Hunter Brown started to struggle early in the game. Altuve gave him and the Astros a two-run lead coming out of the first inning. He immediately gave it back up, and he was in trouble. He was over 50 pitches in a couple of innings, and I think settled in at 69 pitches after three innings, and then was able, as Clint said it, maybe he'll settle it down. He had a couple of quick innings, and he was able to get a quality start. Six innings, two runs, seven strikeouts, two walks, which his day turned out to be a pretty good one. His offense gave him four runs there, and then he seemed to kind of get awakened from that and shut the door. Here was Joe Espada, Lieutenant Joe Espada, after the game with his thoughts on this Astros winning in this series.
Yeah, you know, it's we know we have to play our best. We know we have to play our best. Our goal was to come here and win this series, win the head-to-head series against, you know, a team that could be in the hunt there against us, you know. And we got a good Diamondback team coming in here, and we're going to let Strami do our meeting tomorrow. No, joke. But, you know, I want to see that urgency, and I think our guys are starting to keep the pressure on those teams. So, but we still got baseball to play. I don't want to get complacent. We just got to continue to play well.
He just does so many bench coach things.
I mean, get complacent? What the hell is he talking about? It's September the 3rd, and you're making a run. Nobody thinks you're going to get complacent.
Or let Strami run the meeting. Like, he's acting like Strom was forced on him or something. Like, yeah, here we go. I'm just joking.
What meeting do you think he's referring to?
Team meeting.
The team meeting, I'm guessing.
Hell, let him run it. I'm fine with that.
Yeah, you're out of here. You got a month left, a couple months left. But, no, that was a big win and a big series win. And to go with what he was talking about, I think we looked it up, 27-15 now are the Astros against teams with winning records. And it's not just old stuff. This 3-4 from this White Sox team, who's the number 2 seed now, they've climbed to a game and a half behind them. Last week, the Yankees, who have a better record than them, they took 2 of 3 from them earlier in the second half coming out of the All-Star break. They won a series against the Rays as well. So they've been doing this against good teams and good teams of late here. So that's a good sign to be shown there. They're now 3 games over 500, 2.5 up on the Rangers who play the Rays. So maybe they can stretch that lead out a little bit more too, Clint. But this is a good sign what they've been able to do coming off of that last home stand.
Would you rather have more total wins, or would you rather have a great record against the better teams you played? Would you rather have a better overall record with more wins, but maybe not be as good against teams that are 500 and better? I think I'd rather be a mid team that just kicks ass against the better opponents. I think
if they both get me to the playoffs, yes.
Okay. I like it.
Because sometimes some years 72-69 this late is not leading.
Ain't gonna get you there.
Isn't leading fair. The division.
That's fair.
Yes. Yeah.
Really whatever gets you there. I hear you, bud.
Thanks, love. I'd like some hot links. Let me just tell you that right now. Astros, they win. They get ready for the Diamondbacks in that series. Javier, Petco, and Peter Lambert get the ball as they will take on the Diamondbacks. Another good team battling for the playoffs themselves. See if they can continue to roll, as we said, as the Rangers have the Rays.
Those Astros, they're kicking ass and taking names.
5 o'clock fire.
All right, Clint, the Rockets, they, if you're just joining us, give Amen Thompson big money. 5 years, $208 million. He's had a really good year. Last year, it felt like it wasn't as good because he was playing out of position, and you look at it, and sometimes he had some struggles playing the point guard role, and you could see the rest of the team probably suffered not having a true point guard out there, and he was kind of learning on the job. But last season, Amen Thompson was among 9 players to average at least 18, 7 rebounds, 5 assists. And the rest of the members in that group was his teammate, Alperen Şengün, Jokic, Luka, Scottie Barnes, Jalen Johnson, Pablo Banchero, Giannis, and Jason Tatum. So those were the guys who did what he did from a points, rebounding, and assist situation. Clint, what is your confidence that we see a much better version of what Amen Thompson is right now? What's your confidence level in 4 years from now that he is a much improved player? Because that's what you're betting on.
Well, hoping. 4 years is 4 years is too far out for me to have a. But I mean, I'm gonna tell you my confidence is low. Just because I don't know a lot about the NBA, but I know when I watch a team, whether a guy's even a willing shooter or not, and it looks to me like he's not just a bad shooter. And it's not just from 3-point. It looks like, I mean, he turns down mid-range shots out of almost fear and lack of confidence. That part scares me. right? I don't know how you overcome that if you haven't shown any signs of like significant improvement in your first several years, right? 3 years, whatever it's been. So my confidence level there is not real high. The second one is what's more concerning. Is I don't have confidence that Ime Udoka is going to put him in a position. You mentioned Draymond Green earlier, okay? And I don't mean to put him into one of the best players, a future Hall of Famer kind of deal. I don't mean to do that, but Draymond Green was able to do what Draymond Green does and just be as good as he can at that. Like, he was surrounded by scores on the offensive end of the floor. You know, he was not really a non-factor, right? Other than maybe rebounding and playing, you know, obviously on the offensive end.
He was better his early years, but the bulk of his career, they put him in position to do what he does best.
Between the supporting cast of just some of the best shooters that the NBA's ever seen, along with a scheme and an offensive plan that helped him overcome some of the
deficiencies.
His
great skill is passing the ball.
Right.
He was surrounded by guys
in a system that that kept movement going where you could pass the ball. So that's the bigger piece is like, you know, can the Rockets in any way, shape, or form get a system and a supporting cast that allows Amen Thompson to be great at what he does? Because there's no doubt, I'm with you, I believe there's greatness there. When it comes to getting to the rack, when it comes to playing defense, when it comes to hustling and grinding, he's on a whole other level, the physicality, whole other level. Amen Thompson could be one of my favorite players to watch. But it's the other stuff that he's asked to bring the ball up the floor. Right, he on the offensive end of the floor, he's for the most part, when I've watched, had too big of a role and been too active on the scoring end for me to think that, boy, that's gonna change. So it's twofold between his shooting and the system. I just don't know.
Yeah,
I just don't have a lot of faith in either.
I think there is a chance that this is a perennial all-star level player. I think he's close anyway. With what he does on the defensive side of the ball, and now, as we said, there's only 9 guys who did that last year. He was one of them. He does, moving forward, need to be surrounded by the right guys. And if Draymond's special offensive skill is passing, his is definitely getting downhill and getting to the rack. And can they put people around him while him trying to improve his shooting?
Sure.
If they put people around him, and maybe that helps this year with Fred, Kevin on the court, Smith on the court all together, Reed, where he can drive the basketball and get the best out of what he can do. But now I just, the kid works, and there've been, maybe the shooting part, the 3-point shooting specifically, hasn't gotten better, but everything else he has improved upon in his game. Every year he has improved on points and assists, and rebounds are really, really close. He's been around 7 and 8 the last 2 years in rebounds from a guard. So I think this was the right move, as we discussed earlier. And hopefully this is something where we see him get better and him get, as you said, put in the best position.
We have a liftoff.
5 o'clock fire.
All right, Clint. LSU plays Clemson, but they're already apparently having something to defend, and that is the SEC. They have filed suit versus LSU, Clint, over the intent to play pro athletes. They filed suit at the U.S. District Court in Alabama on Thursday, alleging that the university is violating the league's First Amendment rights of expressive association by ignoring the SEC rules that prohibit signing and playing NFL players. Lane Kiffin is involved in the suit. The athletic director, the president, is involved in the suit. And this thing is starting to get serious. We've heard them threaten to kick them out of the conference, which I don't think will happen. But do you think this thing is about to come to an end, or do you think we're going to see this continue to be battled back and forth by LSU in the SEC.
No, look, I think it'll come to an end. To me, this is one where LSU dug its heels in and initially filed the suit and got this thing moving in courts to make it even a reality. And I think the only thing that the SEC can do in response, once they decided that they were going to declare that they weren't going to allow it to happen, the only thing that you can do at that point in time, I think, is dig your heels in and file suit. And so how you get out of this, I don't know. I don't blame LSU for in the state of Louisiana and everybody on the front end. If you find a loophole, dig your heels in and make it a reality. Right now, all the different conferences band together and say we're not going to allow former NFL players in. And once you're a pro, you're a pro. Now the only response is for the SEC is to dig their heels in and file suit. So at some point, I think this comes to a head, and it's not about kind of just like what's the next step. All right, y'all put it in the hands of the courts. And, right, and now the only way that we can have any stance here is the SEC. We can't just sit back here and lob out empty threats, right? We've got to dig our heels in, and we got to do what's right legally. At some point, I think that back and forth ends. I think most importantly, I will be shocked. And maybe this is, I haven't covered this super close, so maybe this is already a foregone conclusion. I would be shocked if LSU plays any of the players that they're referring to.
Yeah, I don't think
first week or while this is going. Like I would be shocked.
That would take it up a whole notch if they did that. Yeah. And I just don't even think it's worth it. Right, I don't think it's worth it to put the entire university and that team in this season. Yeah, in jeopardy of what? Because I mean, if you push it to that level, I don't know what they're gonna respond to do.
Well, once it gets pushed to that level, whether it was the state, the university, agents of the players, once it gets pushed into the legal system, if you will, into the courts, then you have to respond that way. Like once it goes there, like that's how you have to respond. There's no dancing around it and asking for forgiveness or asking them to back down. Like you got to play ball in the courts. And so I don't know how they put the toothpaste back in the tube, so to speak, but I would be shocked if any players played.
All right. Coming up, our quarterback, Clint Sterner. I got a thought. We had a thought from a listener, and I got a question. Clint has been in the position. He is the closest thing in the media, at least here at 95.7 The Fan, to have been under center to understand what CJ has gone through and what it's like to be a quarterback in the NFL. I got a question upon how much we should take on what CJ has had in his lap in his time here in Houston. We'll discuss that coming up.
95.7 The Fan presents The Drive with Sterner and Hughley.
All right, welcome back as we are live here on The Drive. Coming up in the 5 o'clock hour, win a little cash. T-Mill's best bets. I know last night was not 100%. He should have been in there.
Another one for three.
Yeah, I know. We have a Royals team that kicks off the game with homer, single, RBI double. Two-run homer. First four batters, 4-0. Somehow they lose by 3 runs. Sorry, man. I felt that one. And then the Miz lost it for the first time ever. Gave up 5 runs. That was just, yeah. I thought you made good bets. And that, my friend, is why I don't bet. Right there.
It's a good argument. Can't even deny that.
Yeah, right there. Because that made too much sense last night.
But wait till we go 3-for-3 tonight. I'm sorry, 4-for-4. Then you'll be like, oh, man, wish I.
There's your little tease. T-Mill's got four coming at you.
That's what he does. That's what he does.
Got
tough one. Hell, let's go for it. That's what he does. All right, Clint. You know, in our conversations about CJ, especially centered around the contract since this jumped up around Nick Caserio this week, talking about the conversations being productive between the Texans and CJ Stroud's representation. There's been a lot of conversation coming in and out, and people, you know, wondering. Had a texter ask me why I was so locked in on him being the guy, and why I thought, and him being the guy and being as good as he is, and why I think he is the quarterback for the Texans and should be the quarterback for the future for the Texans. And my big argument, if you missed it, we talked about this earlier in the 3 o'clock hour. I won't go through it, although I did miss my count. I forgot about Nick Chubb, so I need to add him to the list. But I went through this, Clint, and you know, there are, in his three seasons since he's been here, there are 26 guys that were on his offense in some form or fashion. Offensive line, tight ends, running backs, wide receivers. That are not in the league. Somebody is pissed off at the U.S. Open.
I got to pause that for you. I'm sorry.
there are 26 guys that aren't on 53-man rosters just 3 years, just in the last 3 years. Yeah. 21 of them are completely out of the league, and several of those were planned starters for this group. And that's not even to talk about two offensive coordinators that combined have as many years of being OCs as CJ does being a quarterback in the National Football League. Both their first times coaching as a coordinator when they took the job, two different systems, all of that. I want to know from you, how impactful is that? To me, when I hear it, Clint, when I read it, I was like, damn. Like, this was super impactful, not to mention even some of the mainstay guys and just some of the bad luck they've had with injuries, like Tank or Nico in big games or Joe Mixon. Laremy Tunsil's probably been the healthiest great player that they've had, the one that's not missing playoff games. In your opinion, being out there playing the position, how impactful is all of this around CJ in a three-year period? How impactful is that to a quarterback?
Well, how impactful? It's huge. I mean, it's almost impossible to overcome. I agree. Look, beyond the performance the rookie year, and just how impressive that was to me, what you're speaking of is number two on the resume of CJ Stroud for me. I mean, the rookie year was undeniably great. Not just good for a rookie, undeniably great. Now, the further we get removed from that year, obviously the story changes, right? The evidence changes, if you will. But what you're speaking of digging a organization out of dysfunction, I would say as deep a dysfunction as an NFL organization could be for a year. We're not talking about Cleveland Browns here, but definitely that deep. They reached that depth. They didn't live on the bottom, but they reached that depth. Like pulling an organization out of that depth of dysfunction, doing it so quickly and overcoming significant injuries, overcoming the couple of years when your roster is just being constructed and they're trying to overcome dead money and get cancers out and blah, blah, blah. To overcome all of that, to have one of the best years that I've seen a quarterback have. And if you watch the style of play and things of that nature, it's even better. And to have 10 plus wins and to take the team to the second round of the playoffs three straight years and overcoming what he had to overcome with the play callers, as you mentioned, the lack of experience in play callers. What you outlined is very, very real. And like I said, the fact that he was able to overcome that, I think is the second most impressive thing on his resume as he inches closer to a contract, whether it's here or there.
Yeah, it's just a show of, like, again, I've said this before, he's got to play better. He's got to play better overall. He knows he's got to play better. Yeah. He said it, and he doo-dooed the bed, you know, in the postseason, right? Seven turnovers can't happen, especially somebody the caliber of him. That can't happen. I just think this shows in a three-year period what he has been given to work with.
Yeah.
And when you wonder why I feel like, yeah, guys, what are we talking about? This dude is a good player, and it makes sense. Like, he is, like, they got 21 guys in the last 3 years that nobody in the league wants to have on a roster right now.
That's in 3 years. Yeah. That's insane.
Yeah. Look, here's the thing is you got to understand who you're talking to. Like you are just dug in, and it's just what you believe is when you find a quarterback that you believe has like elite talent. Right, just has the ability to produce it, whether it's athletically, physically, through the air, combination or whatever. You've just always been one that you believe, hey, lock that dude up. I mean, that's where you stand with quarterbacks in general. There's no doubt about it. If you owned a team and you got a quarterback that produced from a production on the field, right? It, 3 years in, you would sign his ass up and keep it moving. And the majority, that's what we see happen in the NFL. That's what the NFL has gotten to of late for damn sure is when you get a guy, young dude that produces, that's 23, 24 years old and can go out and throw for 400 to 500 yards and has the ability to put the team on his back in any given moment and go win a game. Typically those guys get locked up. And that's just, if that's where you're at, if you're of that mindset, I completely understand.
But
where you're
coming from. But I do understand that the Texans view it differently, and that is the space they're in. I think they probably view the importance of the quarterback differently. And I think a part of that view is the pieces that they know that they won't be able to retain if they bring in quarterback. I can get that point.
You just change that. That's the more fascinating question because, like, you and I are on two different ends of the spectrum. I always want to see more, and you said, "Hell with it." Once I think I got it. Let's go.
It's just so right? hard to start.
We're on two different ends of the spectrum there. But the reality, the conversation in Houston, as I've said many a times, the conversation in Houston is about if you pay a quarterback that kind of money. I don't care if it's 55 or 70. Some people say, I don't care what it is. I don't care what percentage of the cap it is. If you pay a quarterback that kind of money, it changes the way you build your team, the way you construct your roster, the way you approach winning football games. It changes all of that. You no longer can be a bully on defense. Now, I mean, unless you just draft great and you got your rookies to your third year players are all playing at a Pro Bowl level, you can have a run like that. Which D'Amico's had some luck
I was
with that.
Say they've been drafting pretty good over there.
Yeah, no, you can hit it out of the park with your youngsters and all that. But it's a diff right now. Hell, they just said, hey, we're going to win on defense. Go pay everybody, and they got a couple more they're going to have to pay. Right, so that approach is going to have to change. Come hell or high water, right now. The Texans are going to have a great defense in the league. Hell or high water, that's going to happen. You give a quarterback, whether it's CJ or anybody else, you give a quarterback that kind of money, it's going to change your ability to do that. It's going to change how you view your team in terms of winning football games. It is. It's the reality of it. And is D'Amico and Nick Caserio comfortable doing that?
Yeah, that is the question. But the questions of, man, I don't know, man. I don't know why you believe he's – he's this good. I think that is a clear. He has been given chicken s at times, most of the time by that, and expected to turn it into chicken salad. And in his 3 years at 24 years old, he has done it virtually every year. Now there's some other stuff you got questions on that are fair, but he has done that. That to me is a. It's an example to me why I'm looking at a 24-year-old. Let me see where this joker grows in the next 5 years if he's already doing that early. Coming up, T-Mill's best bets. We'll try to win you a little cash in this pot, in this piece. I don't know where that came from, but we'll make a little money for you with T-Mill's best bets coming up next right here live on The Drive.
Hey, T-Mill.
All right, H-Town. Today's picks are in. The choice is yours. Are you tailing?
Forget the myths. The media is created to just follow the money.
Or fading?
There is no nobility in poverty.
It's time for T-Mill's best bets on The Drive.
I want you to deal with your problems by becoming rich.
All right, it's T-Mill's best bets time. 2 for 3 on Monday, a little tougher yesterday, slid himself into the red. Now we're in the red this week. Needs a big Thursday to jump out of this thing. Red the last 2 days. Need a big Thursday to jump out of this thing. 44% this week. Need a big last 2 days. I believe in you. I think he can get it. And of course, as we know, Tyler, when he gets pressed against the wall, he just throws more money out there. So
yeah, I'm like a cornered badger.
Yeah, you are.
I mean, you said we got to have a big rest of the week. Well, we gotta put big bets out there.
Why is Serena here?
Can you take Varsho for over a base and a half today?
Jumping my time machine.
I'll take out two bases. I'll take that one. I'll take that bet. I'll take the over on strikeout.
No, that's a best bet.
On Hunter Brown. You can find all his bets every single day at Space City Sharp. He has them lined up. If you're unable to catch him here, if you're just joining us here on The Fan and you're like, what is this best bets thing? Tyler places bets every night, tries to help you to win some cash, and he's had a pretty good run here, and you can find him at Space City Sharp. He also has a lot of different nuggets on there for you to be able to help with your bets as well. What do you got tonight?
We will get this thing started tonight. And yes, I said four bets around baseball this evening because we got work to do. First bet tonight, the Red Sox are going to be in Baltimore taking on the O's. O's hosting the Boston Red Sox. And I got the Red Sox winning this one. Take the Red Sox money line. I think Boston has the clear advantage in the starting arm, and I like them to win this game. Now, both starters are pretty damn good at limiting hits, limiting runs in this ball game. So your second best bet is going to be the under between the Red Sox and O's. Under 8.5 runs. Take that one. So two pieces of action within the Baltimore and Boston game tonight. Third best bet, take the Cubs plus a run and a half. Cubbies, run and a hook. They're going to be hosting the Milwaukee Brewers. Should be a close game. I think the Cubs can keep it within one, if not win it outright. And your fourth and final best bet. Oh boy. We're going 4-for-4. I can feel it in my plums. Fourth and final best bet, Marlins at the Royals.
Leave them alone, man.
We had some action in that one last night that did not go well, but I think this one will.
This is a really good pitching match.
Under, exactly. Thank you, Ron. Under 9.5 runs between the Marlins and Royals because, as you just heard, Ron, the show just sank. Hell of a pitching matchup.
Michael Wacha's been one of the best in the AL. Sandy Alcantara is really good, too, as well, Will.
Wacha, Wacha.
Let's see.
You don't seem enthused.
I just don't trust them, and they piss me off.
I get that.
6-0 lead.
I was a fan of the early 2010
Astros. 6-2 lead after three.
I wasn't real sure what or who you were talking about. You talking about the Royals? Yeah. Oh, okay.
He's putting money on them. What did George say? Fool me once.
Shame on you.
Shame on you. You're going Cubs, Brewers, Marlins, Royals again.
It fooled me. We can't get fooled again.
There you go. There it is. T-Mill's best bets. See if you can win a little cash. Coming up behind us, John McClain. He will join the fellows.
Mad dog.
There he is. He'll join the fellows on Texans All Access. So should be fun there tonight. So stay tuned for that. I'm sure they will get you ready as we're getting closer and closer to week one against the Buffalo Bills. And then after that, Area 45. I see my man Bryson back there. Amy Lawrence will be live. This Amy Lawrence, a legend in the building. She'll be live with another legend, Patrick Creighton.
Like a boss.
PC's in the building?
PC's in the building. I don't know about Amy's dancing skills, but I know she's number two in this one.
Oh, Amy can get down.
She does have a swing dance vibe to it.
Yeah, girl.
Amy's got a, and I could be completely, I could swing.
I mean,
this.
I was with.
I mean,
you.
I feel like
they could swing her around the hip. I mean, like Amy's done it.
I don't know if she's going to appreciate that swing dancing.
I think she.
Oh yeah.
I mean, she may. I'm just saying. I don't know that everybody would appreciate that. She's got a real max energy vibe to her. I mean, and if you've got the energy and the want to dance, I mean, you got to have two left feet to be bad. I mean, I've witnessed it now. Don't get me wrong. I've witnessed it. I've been friends with some very attractive women because I saw them dance, and it was never going anywhere beyond friendship. So not being able to dance is a real hang up for you, boy.
Really?
Always has been. Yeah. I mean, it's
you're out. You could be out.
It's not a problem I have.
I mean, you need to either be able to dance or me have never seen you not be able to dance. Then you got a shot.
You had a shot.
But if it don't.
So if you're in too deep, like if you got real deep with Lauren and then you found out.
No, I knew she could dance.
I knew you knew, but if you got yourself 8-9 months in and you fell for her and you got out there and she stepped all over your boots, that'd be a tough one.
Yeah, it's just the lack of being able to keep a beat really, I mean, it is, boy, I'm out.
So tonight's Area 45 is like a dancing edition because we already know PC tears up.
Yeah, and listen, I may be wrong. I'm just going out on a limb. I just feel like Amy's a strong dancer.
I'm not sure about young Bryson's dancing abilities, but we got to find that out.
He looks like a wall poster. Like he posts up on the wall, just kind of chill.
PC, Amy, and Bryson could like start their own kind of Jabberwocky thing.
I bet Bryson from Georgia with that beard, I bet he can two-step his ass off.
Oh yeah, got to be able to get it on the dance floor.
He said,
"Oh yeah, behind."
I don't know.
Sawdust on the ground.
You think so?
I don't know if he's got. I don't know if he's shining any buckles in the grinding category. I don't know if he's got. I don't know if he strikes me as a guy that's probably not going to stoop to that level.
I bet he can spin them ladies around. I know I'll stoop to it.
Well, I mean, yeah, ain't no doubt. I mean, you.
I got stupid in me.
From the window.
We all do.
What was yours? Bend over, let me see it.
We had the first time, Ron, I mean, we may have just been
on a couple dates. So Ron said, yeah, bend over, let me see it. It's my song, boy. Yeah.
Remember, we had Bun on. I just want you to know, man. You changed my life over there in that whole hall in St. Joseph, Missouri. Every time they played that, let me see it.
Is that my boy, Ron?
Found me a wall, slid off on that wall, got low with my hips, and just waited.
I can see a drunk show over there air humping on the wall.
I got in there.
I started moving my hips.
I'm in right there. Oh, man, right there.
Oh, boy.
And the old Bun said, that's exactly why we made it. I really appreciate that. I do. All right. I was looking at this, fellas, real quick before we roll up out of here. Amen Thompson, that's kind of the big story. Got that 5-year contract, 208. And they've locked up Jabari Smith, 5 years, 122. They locked up Tari Eason, 5 years, 81. They locked up Shingun, 5 years, 185. They also have Kevin Durant, Fred VanVleet, Reed Shepard. They brought in Marcus Smart, Bogdanovich. Why is this a team that no one believes will work when it comes to a championship? I'm just saying this out loud. Nobody has the Rockets.
Do you?
No. No. But I'm looking at this. I'm like, all right, they got Amen Thompson. Man, he's been a top defensive player in the league.
They're paying him like they damn sure believe.
They're playing him. And then when you say him out loud, KD is still KD. Was a second team All NBA player last year. Shingun was an All Star last year. Jabari is a 6'10" shooter that can defend and block shots. Nobody believes. Like, what is happening?
I feel like Kobe.
I think it starts with that. Coach on the side, disgusted looking coach on the side.
I look at this and I'm like, there are people running five, six teams out of the West that I think they think will be better than this group. That is just like if I'm Tillman Fertitta, I'm looking at this money I didn't shelled out, and I'm looking at these names. I'm like, damn it, this has to work better than what nobody believes we got a shot. Like, I mean, look, Philly can't shoot either, but damn. Like, I mean, it's, and I'm not going to try to compare them to LeBron and Brown and all of them, but I mean, it is just, you look at this on paper and this should be a championship contending team when I look at it on paper.
Let's go, Rocket.
You look at what these guys have accomplished and you look at where different guys could play. Like, Kevin can shoot, Fred can shoot, Reed can shoot, Smart,
no.
Bogdanovich can shoot, Jabari can shoot. They got drivers, defenders.
You need a shot to win a game. KD's getting doubled. Where are you going? You got to think that long. You're making my point.
Probably Jabari.
or Shingun. Probably Shingun. I'll probably go to Shingun. He's getting doubled. I'll get Shingun in the post. That's probably where I'm going. All-star, seven-footer. I mean, I'm not saying that I think people should be looking at this differently. All right? Like, I'm not saying they should, but it's just, like, you have, if I'm Tillman Fertitta and I'm looking at these payrolls and the players, I got a 6'10 dude that can shoot. That's a role player. I got a 6'7 dude that can do everything. I got a bulldog, Tari Eason, that can come off the bench. I got a 7-footer who's been a that averages 20, 10, and 6. I got a shooter off the bench. I got one of the best players ever. People think the Timberwolves are better. It's wild when I look at this. Just wild. All right, Clint, great job. Tyler, great job, as always. I am Ron, the show, Hughley. As always, we love you.
Planned on being here at 9, actually, but I had an upset tummy this morning, so I got here a little later than I wanted to.
I am not one that usually pushes on this. You got to stop saying tummy, man.
Why?
Just like, hey, man, what's good with you, man? You good? Nah, man, my stomach hurt. Tummy.
T-Mill's terrible tummy, man.
Tummy, man.
Triple alliteration
Nick
on
six.
Your ass.
Nick don't even say tummy no more. He's sick.
That's what an overtime schedule will do to you, man. Make your tummy hurt.
It's just natural.
Hopefully happy tummies.
Brought to you by...
Hey, thank you, Tyler Milner.